just turn in our Bibles to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And we'll be reading there, beginning at verse 15, because it's a discussion of the consideration of the body. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 13, beginning at verse 15, Paul said to the Ephesians, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." That's not where I want to be reading. Ephesians, first chapter, verse 15. I knew that there was a problem there. This is a picture of the Apostle Paul's prayer. I wish I could go through and correct that slide, but I can't at this point. So we'll begin reading in verse 15. He says, "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the one to come. And he's put all things under him, under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." I would say this is an important consideration as we think about the leadership of the church. I was reading a commentary that was written by Brother Whiteside and Brother Nichols. And it suggested a thought to me. Many times thoughts are suggested by what I read, and I don't always know where they came from. When I know where they came from, I try to give credit to the person that had the thought first. Well, this is where it came from, where this thought came from, Nichols and Whiteside. And they say that it's important for us to consider at least three things as we read Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 15. The first thing that we consider is contained in that phrase where the apostle says that Jesus has been placed far above all rule and all dominion and all power, and far above every name that is named, not just in this world, not just in this age, but even in the age to come. Second thing that they suggest that we ought to remember is that this means that Jesus is the head of all things to the church. He's not just the head of the world. He is not just the preeminent power. That also makes him the head of the church. And then the third thing is this idea that the church is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So we, as members of the body, are part of this grand rule that Jesus exercises. So we think about God's kingdom. In the broadest sense, it's all things that exist. Here, later in heaven, in a spiritual sense. In the church, out of the church, God's kingdom is all in all. And the Apostle Paul says, Jesus is now and forever above all rule, both here and in the spiritual realm, and that Jesus is the head over all things to the church. Now, what does that mean when we think about Jesus as the head of the church, and we put that in the context of leadership that exists within the church? The first thing that it suggests is that the body answers to Jesus. Now, as a body, we are many members, and we've talked about the Apostle Paul's illustration of that in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We've seen how the Apostle Paul says, the eye can't say to the foot, you're not important. The hand can't say to the eye, you're not important. We are all members of one grand body over which Jesus rules. And each one of us is an integral part of that body. Later on here in the book of Ephesians, in the 4th chapter, another passage that we've talked about on a number of different occasions, and one that we're, for the most part, intimately familiar with, the apostle says that God has given certain gifts to the church, and he enumerates them. He says some are apostles, some are prophets, some are teachers, some are evangelists, some are pastors. That's another word for elders. And he says that God has given us those gifts so that we can grow into him, with each one of us supplying the part that we need to supply. We are an integral part of God's plan. And that also means that each one of us needs to contribute the function that we are to contribute. We're not all the same. We're all different. And because of that, the body functions better than it would function if it was made up of just one member. Now, importantly, that means that there's no privileged class in the body. No member or group of members, eldership, deacons, preachers, teachers, no member is of any greater privilege than any other member. But what does that mean, really? In Romans, the 12th chapter, at verse 2, not a part of that passage that we most of the time give emphasis to, but in verse 2 of Romans, the 12th chapter, the apostle wants us to think of ourselves in the way that we ought to think of ourselves. This is the way he says it. Don't be conformed to this world. That's the part of the passage that we're real familiar with. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then he continues, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone who is among you, that we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. As in the body, we have many members. The members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. Individually, we are members of one another. What's that say about elders? Well, if you think about the body, you can see that there are just some that are elders. They're in a position that the biblical writers often discuss. But here's what's important. Think about that illustration that the apostle has used, the body. And I realize that you can press an illustration too far, and you can lose the point of the illustration. But I just want you to think about that illustration for a minute. The eyes typically guide the body, right? But the eyes, even though they guide our bodies, they tell us where to go and what we ought to avoid. They're not the boss. The eyes are important. They guide the body, but they're not the boss. Let me give you an illustration of what happens when we forget that premise. That the eyes guide the body, but they're not the boss. That's a picture of a hallway in a hotel somewhere in Germany. If you just listen to your eyes, what that hallway will do is make you nauseous. Just an optical illusion, that's all it is. None of us could walk down that hallway with our eyes open, listening only to the information that our eyes were giving us. How do you get down that hallway? You listen to your feet. Because they'll tell you that that's not what it appears to be. Can't let the eyes be the boss. You let the eyes be the guide. That's how you avoid worrying into the walls. That's how you walk down that hallway. But they're not the boss. Second thing. Think about the hand for a minute. The hand serves the body. But the hand isn't the slave of the body. One thing to serve, it's another to be the slave. So when we think about the elders, we think about them as a distinct being within the body. We have to understand that their role is not an official role. It's a functional role. They guide. They're not the boss. When you become an elder, you do not supplant God. You do not take over God's role in the body. Jesus is still the king. But you can guide. That's why it's important that we think clearly about these things. It's important that Ted considers himself what he ought to consider himself. It's important for us to consider him as we ought to consider him. Not more, not less. Look forward to being able to work with Ted. I look forward to the time when he will take a position of leadership, not as the king, he can't be the king, not as the only voice to which I listen, I'll listen to my feet too. But if he takes on this role, then it's incumbent on us to consider him. We ought to consider him. Bob's going to lead us in a song. If you want to be a part of this body, if you want to be a part of a body that really functions the way that God wants the body to function, and if you would like to be in a body that seeks to function that way, we want you to let us know. As Bob leads us in a song, say something to someone. Say something to someone after we're dismissed. Call someone this afternoon. Let them know that you want to put on Christ in baptism. Let them know that you want to worship, work with this body. But we want you to think about these things.